B-Pod Studios.
Gargano and Mertitus Middays. .975 The Fanatic.
Hey, what's going on, gentlemen? How y'all doing?
Yo, Stro.
Hey, I just personally, it might seem blasphemy, but I really think that letting Nick Foles walk probably the worst decision in Eagles franchise history as far as losing free agents. Just on the simple fact that we were comfortable, the team was comfortable. And I think a lot of people overlook, they'll say, oh, Carson is better. But it's not about what we think. It's about the locker room. So if the locker room was more comfortable with Foles, then I think that's what we should have went with. Even though it was a long shot and it wasn't going to happen anyway, I just think that it would have been a better option for the team.
I hear what you're saying. Either of us could say that locker room was better with. I think Nick was liked and respected, but I don't know that they dislike Wentz.
Because they had a shrine in Nick Foles in the locker room, cuz.
Yeah, no, you're right. No, you're right. You keep it real. You're right.
Yeah, but they didn't have a voodoo doll of Carson.
You know what I mean? Like, we can love you, but we can love one guy, and the other guys, we like him. But I don't know that they do you think they dislike him?
I don't think they dislike Carson. I just think that with Nick Foles, it was all love. Like,
magical in a way.
Like Carson,
yeah.
But with Nick Foles, you could tell that everyone loved Nick.
You're right.
It was just the chemistry was even better. Like, if we had Nick, I just think that it would have been ease. We would have knew that we were going to win at least 12 games this year. It wouldn't have been a question.
Yeah, but do you know, like, here's one thing I don't know about Nick. And, I know that Nick comes up big in games, right? Like, you know,
right.
Without a doubt. He did it 2 years in a row, so you'd be a fool to say no.
Right.
But can he do it over a season?
Exactly. But the thing is, that's the old Nick. Everyone says, oh, he went to Kansas City.
I'm not saying he can't do it. I'm saying I don't know that that's a lock.
Right. But did you guys hear when Nick Foles' exit interview, he said, I know how I want to play this game now. So now I think Nick Foles, he won the Super Bowl. He's a different player. He's confident.
I think you're right about that. I also, and Stro, you have FanFest tickets?
No, I don't have any, man.
You coming? You want to come?
No, I don't have any. I come, of course.
Oh, you got him, man.
All right.
Hold on.
All right, man. Appreciate it, man.
You got it, brother.
Man.
Sure.
Thanks, buddy. Stro. That's the bread man, Stro. Stroman.
Not Marcus Stroman.
good one.
I think Stro's right about the... Look, I think he's a different quarterback. I asked you this the other day. I said, look, and I'm a Carson guy all the way, so I always resisted Nick Foles.
Mm-hmm.
But I can look at him and go, he became a better quarterback.
Yeah.
And sometimes bigger guys, taller guys... When you hit 30, sometimes you become a better quarterback. You know, that's real. I mean, look at Brady. And I'm not saying, he's Brady. But Brady got even better. Like, his greatness, he got even greater, got even better.
Yeah.
When he gets into his 30s.
Yeah, and because he uses his mind more, too.
Yeah.
And his ability to read defenses and know his limitations physically in that league. To put himself in better spots.
Yes.
And he absolutely has done that. It's why at 41, he's still playing in this league. It's why he won another Super Bowl last year.
Yes. Yes. Hey, by the way, FanFest, brother.
Oh, yeah. How about this?
I mean, Saturday, August. Yeah. Do us a favor. Mark this down on your calendar. Saturday, August 24th.
It's all presented by FanDuel Sportsbook.
It's going to be incredible. 1-5 Xfinity Live. Tickets are free, but we got to give you, got to get your hands on them to get in. And, man, the things that we got going on, they did a great job here, Coach and EJ and all the guys in programming and all of us great salespeople. Look at all the stuff going on, the golf simulator, the Ron Jaworski putting green, the baseball speed pitch. There's like all these different things. There's a casino room.
Ooh.
There's a wiffle ball challenge dome.
A challenge dome.
This is even awesome.
How about the stuff that's added?
The Sixers.
Yeah, this is great.
The Sixers are bringing a half court to play on. You got the dunk squad, the Sixer dancers, the Sixer drum squad. And you know what's going to be there? The bell.
What, the bell they ring before the games?
The bell is going to be there. Yeah,
I love the bell. Who's going to ring the bell?
I don't know. It's awesome.
Oh, man. You've rang the bell before.
Yes.
All right, well.
Who's going to do it?
I think you should do it.
pretty awesome, right?
Yeah, no question about it. And some of our partners include Family and Company Jewelers, Club Risqué, Armor Metals and Recycling, and the U.S. Army. And thanks to our fan-faced exclusive automotive partner, Turnersville Dodge, Chrysler Jeep, and Ram Online at TurnersvilleJeep.com. And again, all presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. So, yeah, it's going to be an exciting day, and the clock is, the days are ticking away. We're getting closer to FanFest as well, which is, as you said, on Saturday, August 24th, Xfinity Live. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPEM, Burlington, Philadelphia, Beasley Media Group Station, and we're broadcasting from the Xfinity Studios, only from Comcast. Danny in Connecticut on The Fanatic. What's up, Danny?
What's up, fellas? How you doing, man?
Hey, what's up, bro?
And so your buddy that I want to give you a parallel to the pressure. I know you guys were talking about the pressure with Matt, with Wentz coming back this year, and we were trying to think of maybe athletes past that had similar pressure. But yeah, your buddy, I think the guy in the league, I think it's a little, there's a tinge of Wentz hate. I know the guy's objective, but he's a league guy.
Yeah.
It's a little, I think, extreme. But I'm not also swinging the other way that where you guys kind of tend to have, you know, a little overlove of Wentz. I'm kind of in the middle.
Uh-huh.
I do believe that Wentz is going to have a really good year. I just feel it. I feel that he's determined and he's going to get over the Foles thing, and I think that he's going to have a good year. But the pressure is no doubt on. I think the winning the Super Bowl for the Eagles is twofold. It's kind of bittersweet in that there is a little bit of pressure taken off from the fans now. I think, you know, we won the Super Bowl, so we're at ease a little bit. But because Foles did it, that pressure is, you know, catamount to Wentz right now. And I think that he's going to handle it well this year. At least I hope he does. And I don't see him regressing or, you know, barring any injury, having a bad year. So I'm confident. I think the parallel that I can remember is, if you remember back in 1996, the Avalanche won a Stanley Cup. With obviously the guy that was traded for Lindros.
You're right,
Forsberg.
Then the Flyers come back in 97 and get swept.
Yeah.
After they got swept that year, that I remember that 98 season, we were like, dude, Lindros, it's do or die, man. And obviously injuries started to take its toll, never having a goalie and a second sniper, and then, you know, it went downhill after that. I'm hopeful that this doesn't follow the same pattern with Wentz. I don't think it will. But I'm psyched for this year, and I'm pumped that Wentz is going to have a really good year.
Yeah, that's a pretty solid parallel.
Yeah, that's a great one, man.
Yeah.
It really is. There was a ton. I mean, there was a ton of pressure on him to be Wayne Gretzky, Mario Lemieux.
He was the next one.
You're right.
You know, and they had the passing of the torch from Lemieux to Lindros, and it went unfulfilled. When you talk about generational players in sports, like truly, like if you're going to be really picky with that term, they all win championships.
Yeah.
He was a generational talent, but never won a championship. That's very rare for generational players. Like Gretzky, Cups. Lemieux, Cups.
Yeah.
Crosby, Cups.
Yeah.
Ovechkin,
yeah.
Not even. You look at all over sports, the generational. Now, you look at maybe a sport like baseball, like Trout is generational, hasn't won. But, I mean, he's got a lot of time left. But that's a sport where it is a big collective. But when you have a generational player, you got to capitalize on it.
Yeah. You know him as much as you're probably going to know somebody.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure.
88. Like,
yeah.
He became a street. His whole thing, he was this amazing young talent, right? And sometimes, and you see this with prodigies a lot, that when you're that good at that young of an age and all the expectations, man, you can wilt. That can make you wilt.
Yeah, and you don't live a normal life. You're a spectacle.
Yeah,
you're not a person.
And the other thing, too, is it makes you, it also could make you more prone to, you know, substance.
Yep.
You know, not to say that, whatever, but you don't get my point. Like,
yeah.
It can really hurt you. The pressure can
look
be...
Look at Marinovich.
Exactly.
Yep.
Drove him wacky. Made him wacky.
Yep. Went the other way.
So I think Lindros had a ton of pressure from just to be the next Lemieux. Guys also looked at him sideways, like, oh, yeah, here he comes, Mr.
He sat out.
Yeah.
You know, his dad was his agent, and then the other part of it was
this huge package that you sent
for him.
Yeah.
And like he just said, you know, the team that... you gave all those pieces to get him, ends up winning a cup. when they get to Colorado and, whoa, what's going on here? Absolutely. I asked him in an interview one time at the end of it, I think this was like 2 years ago, and I just asked him if he was happy. Like, was it off-the-wall question?
You know, dude, I asked him the same thing.
Yeah.
You want to laugh? I asked him the same thing.
Did you?
We had him on the morning show, I don't know, this is early on, like 3-4 years ago, and I asked him that question, like, dude, are you happy now? Like, you, you know, because there was, he seemed like, listen, he's not the most, you know him, he's not like, he'll never open up.
Yeah.
He's really, really reserved, and he's really closed.
Guarded.
But he did seem a little bit, like, chill.
Yeah, I think it was when he had kids.
Yeah.
Is that when you had Barkley on, too?
Yes.
I remember you had the two of them on at the same time.
Wow, that's...
two of the greats together.
Yeah.
Wow.
Good memory.
610-632-0975. But
thank you. Thank you.
My man, the
chewiness.
He's got a good memory, like an elephant, the kid. To your point, though, the pressure, it can debilitate certain human beings. It really can. It is a lot of times.
Well, that's what makes you great. Like, you know,
it's the ultimate equalizer.
Exactly.
Because some guys have that edge. And you see guys that in any sport, in regular season, they're great, man. They can put up numbers and they can do great things and win you games, but they get into the playoffs. And in those moments, they can't handle it.
No.
They can't perform at that level. And there's other guys that during a regular season just kind of are contributors and are good. But then they get in that big moment, and boy, they rise to another level. We've seen guys like that in this city on both ends of the spectrum.
Yeah.
Absolutely. 610-632-0975. It's the Midday Show. Got a couple open lines if you want to grab them. It's Anthony Gargano, Jason Martinez, and we're right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Let's talk Baxter. We're going to put the Baxter. Philly's first half. We kind of did that already. What do you got? Junior's anything?
How about the idea of nothing going on in sports? Just the idea of it going on in the Baxter.
Well, I hear you.
All-star break in the Baxter?
Yeah, I hate it all. No break. We don't need a break.
No, I don't need a break. I didn't ask for a break.
Because the all-star break is really the sports break. Yeah,
instead of letting the guys run to Area 51, let's just put them right into the Baxter.
Perfect.
300,000 in the Baxter.
Well,
it's a lot of Baldies.
Listen, right. And the Baxter holds 3,300 pounds of waste.
They weigh about 100 pounds each.
So, you know.
These nerds.
Gargano and Martinez Middays.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
It's 11:20. Don't read me that. I'll really go out in the island.
Yeah.
With my Duke football. So, quite frankly, I think you're an a-hole.
That was from yesterday.
That's right.
Quite frankly. Speaking of him.
I'm getting ready for my...
getting paid.
I'm getting ready for my fishing expedition someday.
Yeah, you got your hip waders out?
That's if I was going into a river, right?
That's correct. I shall see if you can pick up... You're going deep sea fishing. The fish finder.
Yes, the fish finder with Captain Fumo.
Captain Fumo, okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Me and Captain Fumo.
Nice. You guys are going to have a good time.
Me, Toots, and the kids.
Yeah, the boys are going to have a great time. Yeah,
where you guys get Fumo on at?
I don't know, Brigantine. You know Brigantine.
Yeah, I just wonder where on the island you get on at.
A dock.
Yeah. Because the world-famous Elks Lodge, which my father's a member of.
Oh, I was a former Elk when I was living in Oxford College.
Were you really?
I was a member of the Elks Club.
There's a dock right by the Elks Club, so I'm wondering if you're getting there.
Hey, for cheap cocktails.
Okay, I'll get my dad to get you in.
You got the cooler all set? The igloo?
No.
you are not prepared.
No, but they had the cooler on the boat.
Yeah, you got to bring your own. You got to make some sandwiches. You know, make them dry.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you make the sandwich dry so it doesn't, you know.
We got to bring sandwiches?
What do you think? They got a restaurant on the boat? Or you got a grill? They're going to catch the fish and then cook it up? Are you and the boys?
Yeah, but I figured it's a few hours, right? I mean.
Nah, you got to have a snack. You're out there in the sun. You want to have some sustenance.
I'll give them some.
A few Gatorades for the kids. Yeah?
Okay.
Some you want to get some keep some electrolytes in the boys. Otherwise, they're going to be in the cabin on the iPad trying to get a signal. You know what I mean? Come on.
All right.
I'll give you a list, a checklist. What you got to prepare tonight. You know, some Doritos are nice on the boat.
Yeah,
love the Dorito.
Yeah, the Dorito. Yeah, I figured I'd get a couple bags of that because they love that.
Cool Ranch Doritos.
They love it.
I'm out on the Cool Ranch.
Yeah, they like the regular. He likes the regular.
I don't like Doritos, period. I've never been a Dorito guy.
No.
No.
You know, I will admit, like, the salt is my weakness. Mm. So the chip is, I got to stay away from it. It's horrible. And the Dorito, I love the flaming hot.
Mm-hmm. Oh, do you? Yeah, like, you love peppers and
there's
stuff.
There's like that flame, like, it's something.
Yeah, the really hot one. There's also the purple bag, the like the chili salsa one. I think they're pretty good.
Yeah, like, there's but there's one that's like ridiculously hot. That's a great deal. Yeah.
Some things are so hot, though, that you don't have, they have no taste because they're just so hot.
I like that.
Yeah, you do.
Can I admit something to you guys?
Yeah.
I put my Doritos in the freezer before I eat them.
Why?
There was
in the freezer?
Yes.
Added crunch?
There was one night.
I don't understand that.
It was after homecoming in high school, and we were camping out at some girl's house, and it was November, so it was freezing at night. And I may have been, you know, enjoying myself with the, you know.
Yeah, cocktail. We get it.
Cocktail a lot more when I was 16.
Yeah.
And the bag was, like, freezing. And I ate it. It was the best taste in the world.
Really?
So since then, I've been putting my Doritos in the freezer. And this vending machine
is chilled,
food comes out cold.
Yeah.
So that's why I like the Doritos in here.
Yeah.
But wait, what is it about the cold Doritos?
I like cold food. I don't reheat food. Like, if I have leftovers, everything's cold. I eat Chinese food cold.
I skeeve cold. Yeah, I can't
love
do
it.
That. Yeah. I know a lot of people do that. They like the cold.
Cold pizza?
Yeah, can't eat Chinese food cold.
Yes, you can.
Well, if you get like the broccoli chicken, you get like the gel of the chicken.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
you eat it cold the next day. You gotta mix it up.
That's disgusting, dude.
Yeah, that's nasty.
Dude, you know me. I'll eat anything. I'm a
cold
low disposal. That's different. That's like cold spaghetti.
Main. Yeah. You eat cold spaghetti?
No. I do
I've
not.
I've had cold spaghetti.
First of all, here's the problem. You can't have spaghetti as a leftover.
Oh, I did it a lot as a kid.
You can't have spaghetti. Certain pastas you can have as a leftover. The gnocchi, like mm-hmm. You can have a couple of you can't have spaghetti as a because it's first of all, it's not good. Second of all, it's like pasta is meant to be eaten fresh.
We did spaghetti for breakfast as a kid. My mom would make like 5 pounds of it for the four of us, always have leftovers the next day, have it for breakfast.
Like fettuccine Alfredo never reheats like it when it's fresh.
Yeah, you should never eat fettuccine Alfredo ever, but regardless of it.
Now, we did the pasta with ragu at night.
Oh, that's so horrible.
And then the next day, we just did it with butter. Because we didn't mix it in the bowl. We throw the ragu on top.
You throw it in a frying pan.
Oh, God, I want to vomit.
Yeah, the gnocchi the next day actually is not bad.
Well, it's different because of the texture.
Yeah, because of the potato.
You're not, or the cheese. I got that in yucky. But you know, you can't eat pasta. You're not supposed to eat pasta.
Come on, man.
It's supposed to be fresh.
Lithuanians don't know pasta.
Come on, man. I know, but you, it doesn't mean you. It's an excuse to be a Philistine. trying to help you out. Go eat cold. I hate cold food.
Dude, cold General Tso the next morning.
Oh my God!
When you're hungover. Oh my
God!
But
when the juice gels. Yeah, that's disgusting. That's disgusting.
I hope there's I have some no support gelatinous. Out there with the people.
Yeah, like,
that's gross.
That skeeves even me.
Listen, I don't even get cold. I know everybody likes cold pizza. I don't like cold pizza.
I don't either.
I don't know why you would eat cold when you can heat it up and get nice toasty. First of all, the cheese isn't good.
It limits the flavor to me.
It's cold.
I'd rather eat pizza hot, but Chinese food, I'd rather eat it cold.
Wow.
You'd rather eat Chinese food
when I order Chinese food, I will order it early enough to then put it in the fridge.
Ew.
I will eat the egg roll at midnight.
Oh my!
After
God.
It's been in
Dude,
the
that's
fridge,
that's a fried thing too. Like that's out of the deep fryer. You got to eat that hot. Do you like refrigerate your French fries?
No, oh. No, that's psychotic.
The egg roll. No, the egg roll should not be. You got to eat it.
Cold egg roll.
If you don't eat it in 5 minutes.
I get on the car ride home.
If you don't eat it in 5 minutes, the egg roll's no good.
Oh, dude, I take it out of the fridge, dip it in the duck sauce.
You go duck sauce.
I go to hot, the house hot mustard.
I go to mustard, yeah.
The house hot mustard.
Jerry.
Not out of the packet. I got out of the house hot mustard.
on
what
the
about,
house.
What about cold raw corn? Not cooked.
No, I'm out.
Oh, it's good.
Right off the cob.
It's sweet.
Cold raw corn.
So you take it out of the fridge, and as soon as you...
So basically, you don't boil the...
You husk it?
Yeah, you husk it and you eat it.
Yeah, that's
no, I'm done
too.
On that. Yeah.
I guarantee if you try, you'll like it. When it comes to food, I'm a freak.
God, I had the meal the other day.
I didn't realize how bad you are.
Yeah, he's worse than I am in a lot of ways. I did the clean out the fridge day.
That's that Eastern Europe. Let's get hearty and just eat. It's cold, doesn't matter.
Well, they're not rich out there, so they got to eat what they got. So I'll eat whatever I got.
Listen.
I had to start a fire out there?
You know, all my people were peasants and thieves. All right?
Like, I don't even have people.
There was no wealth in southern Italy. But they weren't, they cooked their food.
Yeah, then they had to start a fire and heat it up.
Oh, man. I felt like that's what we gave you, Rome. We gave you, like, the ability to start a fire and cook.
The gift of our cuisine.
And we gave you a bathroom. Like, oh, this.
Thanks. Thanks for the plumbing.
The outhouse. Real quick, I see this article that Mike Freeman wrote, NFL writer. And the title of the article says, "Love him or hate him, Odell Beckham Jr. is the true face of today's NFL."
Who says that?
Mike Freeman.
Ah, all right.
Now, Odell is obviously a polarizing figure, very socially active on social media. He is a guy that, you know, will engage in that way with the fans, and he plays a position that's prominent, a skilled position. He's a dynamic player, but is he the face of the NFL?
I don't think he's the face of the NFL.
I don't think so either. Now, he's in Cleveland now. He wasn't a huge market in New York.
He wasn't the face of the NFL in New York.
Totally agree. So who is the face of the NFL? Is it still Tom Brady? Is he the face?
Yeah. Brady.
Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah.
One of the faces?
Yeah, it's got to be quarterback.
I think so, too.
You know, Patrick Mahomes is up there now.
Could be on his way to being the face.
Yeah.
But it's probably still Brady because he's the most widely known.
But that's the difference between the two sports, right?
Mm-hmm.
You look at basketball and you look at football, right?
Yeah.
And it's how the two have been marketed. So the marketing angles on both of them are fascinating because the one is marketed to, and it's done for a reason, because it does not want to be player driven. The NBA, when Michael Jordan saved the league, Doc kept it going and Bird kept it going and Magic, and then Jordan comes in and takes the league over, right?
Yeah.
And becomes a star. And then forever after that, David Stern was trying to figure out who are we going to market the league around?
Yeah, who's the next Jordan?
Right. And then the whole thing happens and LeBron and, you know, Kobe, but then LeBron comes in. And so that league markets individual players, right? Stars. That's why you look at the player movement. That's why people are enamored by
endorsement deals.
Right,
might go to a new level.
The singular faces.
Yeah.
The NFL doesn't want any of that. First of all,
they want to market the logo of the team.
Right. Because that's what they're about. They're not about individual. They're about team.
Yeah, the helmet.
Because the sport is so rough and violent that, you know, if you're going to, you can't market the thing around the league because
2 years, a guy could be gone.
Right. And you know, the closest thing you got is quarterbacks. So they make the rules so that the quarterback can stay upright because they know that, well, we need something. We need a semblance of what the NBA is.
Yeah.
Even though we're going to go opposite and we're going to market team. But we still need a semblance of individuality. That's going to come via quarterback.
Yep.
So we'll make the rules that, you know, quarterback's always protected.
Yeah, so we can keep those guys in the game. Because we also know that when a guy like Aaron Rodgers goes out and whoever is backing him up, that game's not as sexy to watch. You know what I mean?
No.
It's just not.
It's always quarterback. I'm surprised he would say that Odell is the face of the team. I don't think Odell's the face of that team.
Yeah, I don't think he's the face of the league at all.
I don't think so at all.
If you go, who's the face of the NBA, there's about 17 of them.
Yeah.
You know, it's Kawhi, it's LeBron, it's, you know, James Harden.
Correct.
It's those guys, Kyrie to some extent, Kevin Durant, Steph Curry. Those are the faces of the league. You can't parse out which one is more deserving than the other.
Correct.
When you look at baseball, the face of the league, is it Trout? Because he's the greatest player. Problem is, he's playing on the West Coast. It's an East Coast world.
Yeah, it's Trout, but the sport itself is struggling. So, I mean, yeah. When I say struggling, I don't mean it's like going away or anything, but they do struggle with
marketing the stars.
You know, it's, you know, who are the players. I got to bring this up real quick because on the text board, here's a quote from the text board. Was my bong laced this morning? Is Chunis really talking about cold food like this?
VG checking in.
How'd you know that?
The bong. I've seen VG.
I've hung out with VG.
You know, remember me.
Yeah. He's like Cypress Hill. Hits him the bong.
Never stepped near Lithuania.
Yeah, I knew that wasn't Jim from the Palm or wasn't Avalon Brian or Tasty Cake Dom. You go bong, I go VG.
Was my bong laced this morning?
The fact that you hit the bong this morning is pretty telling.
I got a couple tweets from you. This is from Phil. He goes, I'm starting to think Andrew is an alien. There's one.
But, you can storm Area 51.
But then Doug goes, you aren't a freak, brother. Cold Chinese food is better than hot. The midnight egg roll hits different. Damn right, Doug.
You're insane.
A cold egg roll.
At midnight, man.
Yeah.
You come home after a night of drinking, and you dip that thing in the duck sauce, game over.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know how you don't like anything hot.
Yeah,
like, a hot thing is that...
Let me ask you real quick. Faces of the teams in Philadelphia is pretty obvious, right? Wentz is the face of the Eagles. Joe's the face of the Sixers. The face of the Phillies is obviously Bryce Harper. Yeah, and the face of the Flyers is the captain.
You spent $400 million, it better be.
Yeah, but also, if the face of your team needs to be an all-star. No? Yeah.
Well, you know.
His face was all over the all-star game. The only problem was he wasn't playing in it.
It was kind of embarrassing, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that he was plastered everywhere and he wasn't playing.
Not even there, no.
He was on a boat with his pregnant wife.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to be the face of the team in the city, you need to be an all-star. Joe, all-star.
Listen, he's got some pressure on him.
Oh.
Bryce? Oh, Bryce,
yeah.
Got some pressure.
Oh, yeah. The second half he does.
I love Bryce.
Yeah.
I do. It's one of the... I love him. But he's got pressure on him. His numbers aren't good enough. First half numbers.
No, he's got to be better. You're right about that. Let's go to Jay in Radnor joins us on the Fanatic. Hey, Jay.
Hello.
What's up, buddy?
Hey, how's it going, man? I was calling it. It's my first time calling it, so I'm a little nervous, but...
Don't be nervous. Welcome, brother.
You were talking about the Odell Beckham being not the face of the NFL. And I think when he probably made that comment, I'm thinking he probably thinking over the kid aspect. It's sort of like how Allen Iverson had. He wasn't the face of the NBA when he was here, but he changed the dynamic around everything. Like, everybody had tattoos because of Iverson, the braid.
Yeah, but I thought I thought AI was the face of the league.
Yeah, he was so culturally influencing.
Well, yeah, I can honestly say that as well. But when you were saying, like, with Jordan, hey, he took it by storm. That's why I didn't really want to give AI the full credit, because you guys said Jordan. But that's what I think he was saying with the Odell Beckham thing. Because you see these kids out here now, I don't know if you guys see them or not, but these kids with these mohawks, blonde hair.
Yeah, yeah.
And I drive Uber full time.
Yeah.
So I pick up kids from schools, and I actually really favorite football player. That's who they give me. They don't really say Tom Brady. I think Tom Brady is more for us, like the adults. Like, we know that Tom Brady's the best player. We don't get a kick out of Odell Beckham because we think he's a nut. But, you know, the kids, they really take to Odell Beckham. I mean, that's how I think. That's where I think he was probably looking at it, but who knows?
I think I'm looking at, maybe my problem was, Jay, is that I was looking at it a little too close in the sense of just from the football standpoint.
Right.
But you bring up the cultural standpoint.
That just isn't a fact.
But I don't know. Like, I don't know if he's big enough. Our kids are like all that. Like I agree that because I see it with my own kid. Like my one kid's got the fake mohawk with the green. We had dyed. He was green for a couple days.
Kelly green, right?
We had him green. I did. I had him green. I had Monty green. But I don't know if that's because of Odell or that's just a thing that Odell was following like the rest of young dudes.
Yeah.
And I don't. You know, it's so interesting, Jay, when you talk about it because. In that league, like, look at Mahomes. Like that's a dude that you go, wow. You know what I mean?
He's definitely going to be the one. And he's a good, good citizen of the NFL. See, Odell Beckham, because I'm a parent as well, and my kids are old enough to know football that well yet, but I wouldn't want him to look at Odell. He's banging against it. He's not a great role model. Like, Patrick Mahomes comes off as this Steph Curry of football.
Yeah, that's a great point. That's a great point. Hey, Jay, do me a favor. Is this your first time calling?
Yeah, man.
All right, listen, do you have FanFest tickets?
Nah, man, I would love it. I was talking to my wife last night about it, watching Mike's show on repeat.
You got to come, man. Listen, hold on. We're going to get you the tickets, all right?
Thanks, and I really appreciate it.
You got it, bro. Good job.
Yeah, appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Listen, you're calling for the first time. You let us know, man. We got you hooked up.
Now, one of the things like Mike Freeman kind of cites in the story where he says that Odell's the face is Odell's going viral, like on YouTube and videos and on social media with, the crazy one-handed catches. And he just, like this past week, at the end of a workout, he was just messing around and he launched a football 70 yards through the air. He threw it 70 yards. So those are kind of the things that are influential on that younger generation as well. Is he the face of the NFL? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think so.
One Jay to another, and this one in Levittown on the Fanatic. What's up, Jay?
Hey, fellas, what's going on?
Hey, Jay.
Yo, I'm so stoked, Cuz and Jace, man. I can't wait for after game one, week one, to turn on the station and hear you guys talking about what Carson Wentz just did. 300 yards, 3 touchdowns, and then listening to the Revan. I can't wait.
The Revan. We beat the Redskins because we can. Yeah.
And then also I want to poke your brains with what do you guys really think Miles Sanders and Mile Lott is going to do this year?
Yo, it's so interesting. I'm excited about Sanders, right? I mean, like... Right, as a compliment, he and Howard as complimentary backs.
Corey Clement,
I'm a big Corey Clement fan. I think their backs are, they actually have running backs now,
Yeah, you're right. And if they're hitting the holes, cuz, that just means Carson Wentz is going to have so much more time throwing the ball.
Exactly.
That running game is working, sky is the limit. And I don't know, I can't control it. I'm so pumped.
I love the fact you're pumped.
Tomorrow.
Listen, you're that pumped? I'll ask you too. Do you have the FanFest tickets?
Nah, not yet, cuz.
Here you go, man.
Pair out the door.
Here you go.
Look at that. Yes.
You bringing that kind of enthusiasm, or you're a first timer? You let us know.
some funny stuff on Twitter here. Ryan Field tweets in and always tweets the show. He goes, Bryce Harper is easily the most recognizable face and name in baseball. We talked about Trout. To casual fans or even non fans of baseball, he's the most popular guy. He probably is. More people probably know Bryce Harper than know Mike Trout, even though Harper's not as great as Trout. It's the East Coast thing, the hype that's come around. Some controversies come around Harper, on occasion as well.
Yes.
Obviously, his name was in the headlines a lot this offseason with everything going on. So that's a good point by Ryan. Tristan goes, I'd rather have milk with spaghetti than cold Chinese food.
What the hell, man? What the hell's wrong with you?
I got people backing me up, man. E-Rock. E-Rock saying cold noodles. That's where it's at. No. And I know you respect E-Rock.
I like E-Rock. A ton. I don't know his food elements. I don't know what his food habits are.
Cold noodles, man.
I don't do the cold noodle. But see, here's the thing. Certain noodle dishes can be... prepared cold, not hot, but you can't take a hot food that was meant to be eaten with a sauce that's hot and eat it when it's coagulated.
I have before heated up the sauce on the side and just put it on top of the cold noodles. That warms up the pasta.
Ew.
I've done it the other way, where I've had room temperature sauce and put it on hot noodles. I have done that. But I was a heat.
And listen.
I don't do that anymore.
And God bless you. You are a, and you know.
I'm a garbage disposal.
What you ate the other day.
Oh, yeah. Delicious.
Did you see this?
Yeah, I sent you guys the picture. And I said, I love eating all kinds of food, but that actually kind of grossed me out.
I swear to God, I lost.
Should I put it on Twitter?
It's the best thing for my own diet.
Put the picture up there, too. I sent you guys a text.
Tell people what you ate.
I said, refrigerator clean out combo meal. Cheeseburger, no bun. Wife's leftover chicken fajitas and peppers. 2 pieces of scrapple. 2 slices of bacon. And some white queso. Effing delicious. And I gave you the picture. Mixed it all together. Chopped it up. Oh, it was great.
I'm the green emoji. The guy's face turned green.
You know what I was? I was the eggplant emoji. 610-632-0975. It is the Midday Show.
Savages.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Gargano and Martinez Middays.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
Was it Strasburg, Corbin, and Scherzer going for the Nationals? By the way, I got to ask you about this because
I know where you're going. Philly starting pitcher tonight.
I wasn't going there, but
oh, never mind.
Go ahead.
Well, I don't get why. Like, why are we outsmarting ourselves? Why is Pivetta starting tonight?
Yeah,
you're coming out of the All-Star break. Where you came into the All-Star break not playing all that well.
Yeah,
you had a terrible month of June, okay? You fell down from first place to third place. And to start the second half of the season, you don't go with your ace against a divisional opponent that you're half a game back. I get it. Nola Corbin sounds good, but Strasburg's not bad either.
Yeah.
But why are we going Pivetta game one? Is this a Gabe thing? Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry. What were you going to say?
Trying to get an extended rest. That's why.
Yeah. Again, overthinking things. Let's just go.
Here's the problem. I would be really up in arms, except it doesn't matter who you match him up with.
Yeah, because like, there's all only three are one, good.
There's only one of them. That's the biggest problem.
We need to clone Nola over the break.
I wouldn't mind coming out of the break on a high note winning the first game.
Honestly, it doesn't matter. You got to win. You got to try to win 2 or 3. And you only have one starting pitcher like to really match theirs.
Yeah.
You got to somehow figure out a way to win the one Nola game and to hit the other game.
Yeah, at 12-9, win something like that.
And you got to hope that maybe Strasburg is not, you know, sometimes you know how guys are
coming
when
off
they come off a break
yeah.
and they're out of rhythm.
Pitchers the habit.
You can catch them. And like great pitchers, what do we know about great pitchers? That you can get to them early. And coming off a long extended rest, they need to get to Strasburg early tonight.
Yeah, have a chance. The one thing I wanted to, in baseball show tonight at 6:00 with Andrew. The Phil's back tonight, fireworks after the game. But I see here on Matt Gelb's Twitter line that the Thursday game coming up this week, I guess that's the Dodgers. Thursday afternoon game is a game that can only be seen on YouTube. Not on broadcast television. We know about the Facebook games from last year. But only on YouTube. It's the place where you'll be able to see that game. It's the first Major League Baseball game as part of that agreement and package that MLB made with YouTube. Your thoughts on that, Anthony?
You know, listen, it is what it is, right?
Like, why not put it on both?
But they're trying to get, because they need some sort of exclusivity. I don't kill them for it. I think it's smart.
A Dodger game?
Here's the thing. Personally, I think I'd like to see it on both.
Yeah.
because I do think in that sport, you're dealing with a lot of older people, and those older people are going to get shut out
yep.
from watching the game. That, you know, they're not going to go to YouTube and watch the game.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to go to Facebook and watch the game. That's one of the problems. I do think it's smart to integrate streaming.
Totally agree.
And to integrate different varied platforms because you have so much content that you could strike a 10-game YouTube deal.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, you should explore a relationship with YouTube.
Yeah. And Amazon Prime or Net, whatever it might be, one of those streaming services.
Yeah, YouTube Red is a big deal.
Yep, absolutely. I don't like the fact that it's only on YouTube. I really don't. And there were so many technical issues with it on Facebook.
But here's the problem, though. If you do a deal with YouTube, they're going to tell you that it's got to be exclusive.
Yeah, because it's not your fracturing
the
audience.
You have to try to force people mm-hmm. that come to YouTube to watch the game.
Yeah. It gets a misstep for the first one to not be on both and advertise on the television that it's also on YouTube is the way to do it, if you ask me.
The only thing is, though, like if you really want to watch the Phillies game, you want to find it, it's the perfect way to do it.
Yeah. And it's a game on a week when a lot of people are on vacation. So, you know, they
go on your tablet.
Yeah, exactly. So the timing, yeah, it does make sense. I will agree there. 610-632-0975. Let's go to Curtis in Overbrook on the Fanatic. What's up, Curtis?
Hey, gentlemen. How y'all doing today?
What's up, my man?
Not much, man. Hey, listen, I wanted to call and talk about this Carson thing y'all was talking about. I think that pressure is going to melt off of Carson as soon as he throws that first bomb to DJ, because this offense is going to be prolific this year. So the stress that he's going to face is which wide open receiver going across the middle is he going to hit, because the middle is going to be wide open the entire season because of DJ's deep threat.
Yeah, I love DeSean Jackson on this team. I do. I love it. I think having DeSean Jackson gives them a whole other element. They didn't even have. Look, I like Torrey Smith. You know, he's not DeSean Jackson.
No. But even you could see from Torrey Smith how that opens up the middle for guys like Nelson Aguilar and our tight ends. So, like, I'm not worried about
tight ends. Plural, man. This offense,
man, Goddard,
should be just dynamic, explosive. Yeah. You know, all
unpredictable because you can throw a lot of looks at another team too.
Yep. But here's the thing that's being undersold, and I mean really undersold. We actually have depth at linebacker and defensive back, something we haven't had in the last 5 years. So that means you don't have to worry when the season starts whether or not we have our best guys on the field. We're going to have our best defense out there that we've had since probably early in Andy Reid's tenure under Jim Johnson. I'm telling you, I'm putting money on them to win the Super Bowl almost immediately. I'm not kidding you. It's a foregone conclusion at this point.
Where's your depth at linebacker?
Are you kidding me? They signed a guy from Washington. Paul Warlow's coming back from the leg injury. You still have two starters from last year.
You have Gruje Hill and Nigel Bradham.
Right.
You and have Zach Brown.
Zach Brown, and you have Paul Warlow. Paul Warlow was supposed to make an impact last year, but broke his leg in the first.
Okay, so but I'm not considering him depth then. He hasn't shown it. And Nathan, okay. Gary?
Nice, thanks. Special teams.
I mean, come on. There's no depth at linebacker. Curtis?
Yeah, I see it differently, and I feel like.
Well, I mean, Zach Brown's been an up and down guy.
Here's your argument.
And Gruje Hill, all right.
I'll give you your argument for Jason. In this league, that's the weakest. That if you're going to be weak in a position, linebackers
it's the one
is the one to do it, because it's all about up front and back end.
Yeah, and the back end and the back end and up front is actually very solid this year. So that means that they are not going to get exposed, but these guys are going to have a chance to make plays. And I think the linebackers are going to really shine this year.
Okay, yeah, I just disagree with the assessment that they were really deep at linebacker, because I definitely don't see it that way.
No, I don't
to
think
me,
so. No, they're not.
That is the weakest area of the team.
I agree. I think you're right.
Yep.
You're right about that.
Yeah, I like Nigel Bradham. I do. But other than that, I'm not really enamored. I mean, I'm intrigued by Zach Brown. We'll see what he is.
No, you're right.
If you're going to pick an area, that's the one.
Linebacker has been devalued so much.
Mm-hmm. No question about it. Let's go to Brian in Doylestown. Joins us on the Fanatic. Hey, Brian.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Yo, Brock.
I want to talk about Carson. And you're saying this guy, he's saying, like, where he thinks Carson isn't going to be a great quarterback? Or, like, what was the context of the conversation?
All right, so last night, I'm talking about, I'm incredulous that the Eagles' win total is only 10, right? And so I get a text message. He was from listening. I don't know. He was somehow in the area, and I guess. And he said to me, if Wentz plays like he did last year, how many wins are they going to get? Unsolicited text. And then I go, yeah, he had a broken back last year. Then he follows up with, the kid gets all the passes in the world. And he said, it's the real...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.